You'll see in your bulletin that the gospel lesson for this morning comes from the fifth chapter of Matthew's gospel, verses 13 through 16. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus offers to those gathered around him. But as I share these familiar words, which are probably familiar words, listen for something that may be being spoken into your life, into your heart today, at this very moment. This is Jesus speaking. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but it's thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid, and no one after lighting a lamp puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Friends, this is a word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right. Now, most of us here, I would guess, are familiar at least somewhat with the story of Moses, right? Have you ever heard that name? Good, good. Charlton Heston? Anybody ever heard that? All right, good. You know, that was one of my favorite movies, The Ten Commandments. I think it came out in like 1956. And for years, they would play that movie every spring at Passover, Easter time. And it was a very long movie. And a lot of it was over the top in so many ways. But I loved it. I love that movie, and every year, of course, you can only see things once a year, like The Wizard of Oz. It came on once a year, you had to be ready for it. Couldn't tape it, couldn't buy it, that sort of thing. So we would wait, and we would watch it. And again, I learned a lot of what I know about the Bible from the Ten Commandments, from the movie. And so I thought about that. It means that Cecil B. DeMille was my Sunday school teacher in many ways, so now you understand what's going on. Now, there were a number of good scenes in that movie, but my favorite, of course, was a scene with all the, what? Plagues. They were great. The plagues, wonderful things. But anyway, and how about, I don't want to spoil it for you, okay? But there was the divine inscribing of the Ten Commandments. And it Moses up in the firewood. Anyway, okay. And of course, if you saw it, golden calf scene was intense, very good. But anyway, I want you to go find it. You know, maybe it's on Netflix or something. You can watch the Ten Commandments. So I'm not going to tell you what happens in the end. But anyway, the movie, The Ten Commandments, is based on the story of the Exodus, right? The liberation of the Israelites from Egyptian bondage in probably about the 13th century B.C. under the leadership of Moses. Well, the story begins, that story of the Exodus begins really in chapter 2 of the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible. It begins in the second chapter with the birth of Moses. And then you go through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. At the very end of Deuteronomy, Moses dies. Oh, spoiler alert. Moses dies before he goes into the promised land. So you've got four books of the first four of the first five books about the story of the Exodus. That should tell you something about how important this story is. So anyway, it's central to our faith. Unfortunately, too often, we spend all our time focused at the beginning of that story, you know, and all the pyrotechnics, the parting of the Red Sea. All right, good, good, good. I heard that was done with Jell-O, but I'm not sure, you know, in the Ten Commandments, but anyway, look that up. Anyway, because we focus on the beginning of the story, we miss a very clear message, an important message from the end of the story, a message that speaks down across the ages to us today in this very space. It's found in chapter 26. The best summation is chapter 26, and Bill Sperry just read it. Moses, in that passage, is giving instructions to the Israelites as they prepare to enter the promised land. It was promised to their ancestors, to Abraham, back in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis. So they're ready, they're poised to cross over. Okay, all the dreams to be fulfilled. But so Moses says, when you do that, when you cross over, when you get into the land which God has promised you, what God has blessed you, when you get all settled down, and you get all comfortable in the land, in your life, I want you to take the first and the best produce of your land and take it down to the temple. Take it down and hand it to the priest there and say this, thank you. Thank you. And then I want you to recount for the priest the story, how you got there. Tell him all that you've been through. But somehow, by the grace of God, you are here today. All right. Well, you remember. Let me just hit the highlights again. When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean, Abraham, was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, and the Lord brought us up out of Egypt and brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. In other words, when you get to the point in your life, when you're feeling really good about your life, feeling really good about things, and you're settled in, and the status quo is in full force, and everything is just chugging along just fine, stop. Stop right there. Stop right there and remember how you got there. And when you remember, offer thanks. Offer thanks to God for your life. Then after you offer thanks, give. Give the best of yourself away. Friends, this is a beautiful text, an ancient text. And about 1,200 years after this text, this story that's recorded in these first four books, or the last four books of the Pentateuch, a young man from Nazareth, his name was Jesus, he said something along the lines of, let me tell you this ancient story again. Let me tell it to you in a new way, an abbreviated way. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Do you know the story of the feeding of the multitude in the Gospels? The feeding of 5,000 or 4,000, depends on which version you're reading. I'm sure you do. Anyway, the scene is this. Jesus and his friends, the disciples, are out in the Galilean countryside, and crowds come from all over to hear him. They just have to hear Jesus. There are thousands there. And as the day grows long, all of a sudden the disciples start to get a little bit concerned. What are we going to do with all these people? We're in the middle of nowhere. We need to send them away. We got to send them to get food, because otherwise we're going to be in a lot of trouble. And so they come to Jesus, and they say to Jesus, okay, send them on their way. And what does Jesus say? He said, you give them something to eat. And that's a great line. That is like the greatest line in history, maybe. You give them something to eat. But anyway, they can't understand it. He goes, well, tell me, how much do we have? What do we have? Take an inventory. Come back. 5 loaves, 3 fish. Not much, they said. Not much. It won't work. We can't do it. Jesus says, sit down. Have everybody sit down. And he takes the bread. He lifts it. He blesses it. He breaks it. And he gives it. And we're told there was abundance for all. Wow. Wow. Did you know that that's we find that story in all four Gospels. All four. Does that surprise you? It should, because it is the only miracle story of Jesus that appears in all four Gospels. The only one. And that means that it was understood in the early church that if you're going to tell the story of Jesus, you can't leave this story out. So we better take it seriously. It's constitutive. It's a constitutive story for us. They stop. Offer thanks, and they give themselves away. How about this? This other story. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them. Do you see what's happening here in the Eucharist and the giving of thanks? Do you see the pattern again? You stop, and in stopping, you remember. You remember who you are and the grace that has been given to you, a grace called life. And then this remembrance leads to a giving of thanks. which in turn leads you to give grace, extend grace to others. Now, I find this idea very compelling, I'll tell you. The idea that you stop, and in the stopping, you're given a glimpse of self. You're given an awareness. You remember who you are in the depth of your soul, and you remember what your life is all about or should be all about. Then as you come to understand that your life and everything and everyone in your life is a gift, thanksgiving just comes pouring out. You can't help yourself. No. This is where it gets kind of counterintuitive, is that at the moment, this a moment of uncalculated giving, you find life. You find abundant life. And this is not just some sort of speculative theological junk. No. I've seen it. People who have found peace in their lives, people who remember who they are, what it means to be alive, these people tend to exude grace. And they live their lives of graciousness and generosity. It's amazing. You've seen it. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Friends, over the last 4 months, I've been doing a lot of stopping. And I've been doing a lot of thinking. I've been thinking about life and death and grace. Now, I haven't figured anything out, but I've been thinking. But I will say that time and time again over these past few months, I've been reminded of the fragile and the contingent and the fleeting nature of my life. And it's been eye-opening. It has been incredibly eye-opening. You know, I used to take a lot of things for granted, but I can't do that anymore. I can't do that any longer. No, I can't. And that is a positive thing that has come out of all this mess. Perspective. Humility. Maybe that's it. And it is this humility that reminds me to stop each and every day, take a deep breath, remember, and give thanks. And hopefully, in this midst of all this, I will remember to practice a little bit of grace, to give myself away. We need to be givers, not takers, folks. We need to build up and not tear down. We need to extend an open hand, not a clenched fist. That's why Moses says to the Israelites, when you get to that point in your life where you're feeling pretty good about things, things are going pretty well, point where you're settled in, status quo is in full force, everything's chugging along just fine, stop. Stop right there and remember how you got there. Remember the path you walked. And when you remember, offer thanks. Thanks to God for your life. And after you offer thanks, give the best of yourself away. You are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Friends, how are we going to live out? How are we going to live out our discipleship? That's really the question that we gather every week to discuss. How do we live in a world that's hanging by a thread? How do we do that? Now, the cynic among us would say, eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. And they may be right. Tomorrow may be the day. But I think that we see in our scriptures, in our tradition, that yes, we're called to live joyously and abundantly, but we're not called to live superficially. We're not called to self-medicate our lives away through a life of trivial pursuits and practices. No, our lives are too sacred for that. On the contrary, we're called to go deeper into our relationships and into life itself because we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. Friends, we need to learn to live lives of joyous depth, as in, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is God that made us, and we are God's. We are His people and the sheep of God's pasture. Enter God's gates with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise. Give thanks to God, for the Lord is good. God's steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. In other words, live graciously. Live mindfully. Live intentionally and live thankfully. Thanks be to God. Amen.